But can I just say one thing that doesn't have to do with that?
Okay.
I saw your post about from Alan Cabal. It was absolutely fantastic, but I wanted to let you know that there's a thing that he says in that, and I've got it on my computer because I want to talk to you about it, where he says, and this is Chad, just so you know, Bob posted the most recent.
I sent it to Chad. Chad should have seen it. I sent it to him.
Oh, yeah, I got that today. Yeah.
Did you get
it? I haven't read it, though.
Okay. There's a part, this is what he says, Bob. He says, toward the close of the article, he says, millions of smartphone zombies have been instantly addicted to a game called Pokemon Go, wandering mindlessly hither and yon, attempting to capture cute imaginary monsters. And then he goes on and he says, in another sentence, it'd be fun to put a bunch of Pokemon Go guys into a Black Lives Matter rally and watch what happens when the safe space of social justice warriors is invaded by retarded cyborgs who don't give a shit about anything. Okay, this actually happened in Charleston, South Carolina 3 days ago, Charlie said.
Really?
Yes, he told us about it before the, I even read this, but yes, there was a Black Lives Matter rally. And in the same on the big square there in Charleston, and at the same exact time, there was a whole group of people, kids out there doing the Pokemon thing. And he said it was just like, you know, I mean, surreal. It was so crazy.
So the intelligence authorities have figured out how to disrupt the protest.
Yes, that's right.
Because all they have to do is position the Pokemon where they want it to be, right? And then the kids find it, and then they mingle with the Pokemon.
That's right.
Yeah, there's people.
That's right.
People have fallen off cliffs. This Pokemon thing's been only around for a couple weeks, and people are already doing crazy disservices of itself to themselves.
Yeah,
like somebody showed a picture of a whole bunch of people in Central Park, New York, all mingling around some area, bumping into each other. I don't know what they're supposed to sort of just come to the exact spot, and then it shows up on their screen. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think you pretty much got it. Yep, it's all, you know, projected through GPS. But, yeah, they're in an intersection and, you know, something pops up.
Yes, Zappa and McLuhan, whatever they said about people's behavior or the meme is the besties, they're shocked. They must be shocked. It's way beyond what they predicted. I mean, just people are so involved in their chip body.
We're amusing ourselves to death.
What did you say? What was the verb? We're what? Ourselves?
We're amusing.
Yes. Well, that was said by Neil Postman. And his understudy, Lance Strait, started the Media Ecology Association. He put out a book a couple of years ago called Amazing Ourselves to Death. That's the new version. Amazing, not amusing. Amazing Ourselves. I have to give it to Paul Shockley, who channeled the fake cosmic awareness in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. He did make this prediction, or cosmic awareness, or something came through and said, I remember this, early 80s, he said, cosmic awareness apparently said, people, the Illuminati are going to release technologies. They're just going to stun the masses. That's basically what happened since the middle 90s, is that, you know, Windows 95 and all that. The masses, or somebody out there, a large number of people are running around totally engrossed in whatever is released that they can engage. And they're being amazed. Cosmware's predicted that we'd be stunned and amazed by as things unfold. Oh, look, Chad yet knocked off, I guess. Okay, Chad, you're back. Well, Chad was amazed when he was 8 years old. Chad got into computers when he was eight. You got totally suckered, man. Right, Chad?
Yep. Is he there?
Yeah, he's there.
I was listening to CNN earlier today for a little bit, Bob, and this guy, oh, no, it was Fox News. This guy on Fox News was having his mind, he's a broadcaster, he's one of their news anchors, and he's so blown away by the events of the last couple weeks that he's like, this world is just off its hinges. You know what I mean?
That's his news report. World off hinges.
Yes. Yes. He's like, there's just so much bad stuff going on out there. And then they put on, oh, my God, then they put on some segment about a kissing pig or something. And the guy jumps in on this story, and he's like, we have to, you know, break up the tragedy of what's happening with something joyful. I mean, the kissing pig, it's fun. I mean, he was like just exaggerated in his mania. Yeah, too much.
Okay,
it was hilarious though.
All right, I guess I'm gonna say that. But Chad, are you there, Chad? Why can't you speak? Fix your phone.
Hello?
What's Chad? Yeah, what's wrong with your phone?
I got cut off and I had to call back in.
Yeah, now I've unhooked you a minute and a half ago. Okay, you're there.
Oh.
I said that we're talking about amazing ourselves to death after the amusing yourself to death. Did you hear that talk?
I heard that part.
Yeah, so I'm saying that you got fascinated and amazed by technology by the time you were 8 years old, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
You got seduced. And if you were born in the 70s, so in the early 80s, you're 8 years old, right?
Right.
Well, that's when Paul Shockley's version of Cosmic Awareness predicted that the masses were going to be stunned. And this is right at the time of the Depression, the high interest rates, 79 to 82. It's a bleak period. Reagan is president. Nothing's happening sort of an exciting way. It looks like Reagan's going to make it worse and worse. And then in 83, the junk bond started and the tax derivatives, so the economy, quote, bounced back. And then in 84, the Apple at Super Bowl releases their computer, the personal computer, and Super Bowl January 84. And then everybody just started going nuts with the technology, you know, with their chip body.
Mm-hmm.
So, that has happened, and here we are. Now, I want to say about the tragedies in Nice, if that's what they are, tragedies. I would say everybody's committing suicide. So did these people commit suicide? Here's the background. I looked at the footage, and it is the very walkway along the stone beach. They have a stone beach, rock beach, in Nice, France. And I was visiting Derek de Kirchhoff in August 2014. And so I walked along that stretch for many hours on that day, right where the guy drove his truck. And I end up walking to the very end where I went to this hotel, which had the only room available. I didn't know anything about the room, but I got one because it was the middle of August. Everybody goes on vacation in the world in Europe. So it was all packed. But I found the place. Got the room, and at some point they told me, this is the penthouse suite. I said, yeah, okay, no problem. That'll be $1,200. I said, oh, okay, no problem. So I bought a room for $1,200 for one night. Well, that stretch, while I was walking all around Europe, I was missing Lappert's ice cream. All the ice cream in Europe wasn't that great. And we hear that this guy, somebody who drove that truck, was sat there for 9 hours waiting for his ice cream. Okay? Waiting for his ice cream. So Rox pointed this out to me, that the guy might have been from another world, and he was trying to find me. So he got to that beach. He knew I'd walked along that beach, and then he knew there was something about ice cream, so he waited to either get the ice cream or deliver it. But it's so bobbish what he was doing. And then when he drove the truck, because he was from another world, he probably didn't even notice he was hitting anybody. He didn't know where he was. It was a case of total disorientation. Right. So Rox has been noticing that when I start looking at something, shit happens. So many months ago, she was filling me in on Mexico, so we used to talk a lot about Mexico. And the protests got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and got really nutty. And then I stopped looking at Mexico for whatever reasons, and the riots and everything, demonstrations died down. Well, then I started looking at Paris for different reasons, partly the castle.
Well, we were talking about how the paper money
yes.
created to finance the...
Mr. Jovanovich. Mr. Jovanovich, a journalist in France, has written these books that have attracted Rox's attention. So we've been looking at that for many weeks now. And as soon as I did, shit happens in Paris. And was there something?
It got flooded.
Oh, yeah. It got flooded right away. It's flooded. Okay, so that now it's led to Nice, where de Kerckhoff lives occasionally. So I'm talking to de Kerckhoff, and I was supposed to do some talks with him, but he got so upset at the last November at the murder of whatever it was in France, some murders, sniping, so-called terrorism. And then I was scheduled to talk to Derek the last 2 days, but I didn't call him because he's on vacation in Ontario, but maybe somebody he knows in Nice got killed. So I'm letting him sort of absorb that because he gets quite worked up about these issues. Because as we pointed out the last time we did talk a week or so ago, I was chiding him for following the news too much. Well, meanwhile, so that's Nice and that. So nobody knows, this past week I've been studying Anatolia, which was the original Asia Minor Turkey zone. I've been reading William Irwin Thompson and really focusing, not telling anybody, really focusing on Çatalhöyük and the beginning of agricultural towns in that part of the world and matriarchal societies before they became patriarchal. So I've been really concentrating on Turkey and all this other area there. And by the end of the week, okay, Turkey says, Bob's looking at us, get your shit together, people. Okay, so fucking somebody attempts a coup in Turkey. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. The military attempted a coup. I don't know if they got it done or not. So we're talking Bob's bat in 1,000 here. Wherever I look. So the bids are up here. Who wants a country destroyed? Just put your hand up. I'll start looking into it. And that country will succumb. And it's becoming more and more obvious that Ion is right, that everything's all about me. And what I look at and put attention to, something goes wonky. All right? So, more reason why you should be taking the drops. And, you know, and Corbyn's sitting here. I've got him on mute. But, you know, he's going to go on about his work in Syria, and I'm a minor character, and he's way important. Shall we hear how he responds to that insult I just gave him, or shall we ignore him and get into the Zappa stuff? What do you say? Anybody getting to dead? You want to hear from Corbyn?
Yeah, let's hear from Corbyn.
Okay. Okay, Corbyn. Wherever I look, Corbyn, things start to boil over. Do you have any objections to that statement? Well, maybe this ain't Corbyn. Is this someone else? Is this another L.A. person like Sherry or somebody?
Erdogan.
Erdogan?
Who? The Prime Minister of Turkey.
Oh, yeah. Erdogan. That's that guy... Isn't he like 100 years ago? Or was that Ataturk?
No,
that was Ataturk. Yes, you have Erdogan. He's the new guy.
Erdogan.
Yeah, what happened to them? Did they have a coup completed? Did the people stop the coup? Has anybody noticed the news today? No? Mm-hmm. Nobody noticed that. Okay, keep your mic at your mouth level there, Rox. Now, we have Sean on the line. Now, Sean, I'm not looking at Cornwall, so you're okay. Don't get nervous, all right? You relax.
Cheers, Bob.
Have your kids and any place they want blown up?
School.
Yes. Okay, well, then I would have to take a bit else from Cornwall. I'm not too good at sort of containing the effect. It might spread all over that whole part of London or England. If I go,
yeah, just give
school.
Us a warning, Bob. We'll move.
All right. Okay. So this Anatolia fits into what I want to read. So we're going to. Does anybody want to say anything? Ginny, do you want to say anything?
Yes, I was just thinking because we were talking about the how paper money came to be and created out of nothing.
Yeah.
And the attack in Nice was actually on the anniversary of the take of the Bastille.
Yeah, Bastille Day. That's right.
Yes.
July 14th.
Exactly the symbol of the French Revolution. It was not other day. It was that day.
Right. And the this Jovanovich, this journalist that Rox is looking into, did a book called 777. And today is 777?
Yes, it's 16 July.
777, 2/16, right.
And the attack was on the 14th, that's a 5, then July, 7 and 2, 5 and 2, 7 and 16.
Yeah, that's very good. You got it. That's how we do math today. That's the May Brussels version of...
Yes, and another thing is the Brexit took place 7 years, 7 months, 7 days after the fall in Wall Street, where the
2008
fall was 777 points down.
Wow. 7 years,
the
7 months.
The archangels.
Wow, 7 months.
So these are all the trumpets.
The trumpets.
Trump is the candidate.
Yeah.
And we have all these 777s like in the apocalypse.
Right. So there was another thing. You've got the Brexit to 7 years, 7 months, 7 days, and you've got...
You have payday.
You got payday today, 777, and Ginny did the chart for the sevens in the rewrite. Anything you want to say about that, Ginny, the seven sevens in the Book of Revelation?
I will say... Sorry, Bob. Wait a minute, hold on. I got to get up this speaker. I will say that not specifically the 777 chart, but I will say that I did rehear the keys, section B, chapter 23, and what's laid out in the first 20 minutes of the keys is absolutely exceptionally freaking mind-blowingly cool. And I just about died when I heard it. It was really good. And it made me realize somehow by hearing that part that the part that you read about the noetic polities the other night.
Yes. Yeah.
Is exactly, do you know that the rewrite is the actual proving of what Thompson wrote? Not the rewrite,
right.
The revelations. Yes. What Thompson was saying about the three different aspects, you know, the economic
meltdown.
Landscape, the meltdown, well, all the details of it and why it happened and what the whole thing has to do, too, with the mystery landscape is all perfectly laid out in the Revelation series.
In Supplement B of Chapter 23?
No, in the whole 68 hours.
Oh, okay.
And hearing Supplement B triggered that awareness in me after I listened to the first 20 minutes.
Okay. Of Supplement
yes.
B, chapter
yes.
23.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
Rox has been commenting on the Revelations, re-listening to parts of it, including it in her videos.
Yes,
yeah.
It is said the churches are the banks.
Yes.
And the only reference of the 666 is to the cult of King Solomon, who was a king of all worlds and all creatures. That's the financial system. And then the Andrew Mimer starts with the apple at the fall, symbol of the fall, and the first computer cost 6666. So it's all about the financial system and the Andrew Mimer. So the banking and media's melting down.
Right.
All
you know,
Thompson also talks about in Transforming History.
Say that last sentence. What?
Yeah,
Something about chapter 23? Something.
Talks about these meltdowns in transforming history, because it says there is a period of meltdown and restructuring.
Yeah.
So, in a way, we are, I think, preparing to the restructuring.
Yes.
All these solutions are already there, and we're just seeing the end of the underneath.
Right. So, Ginny,
and the new cloud has to become the environment.
The new what?
The cloud.
New cloud, yeah. So, Ginny, did you know that, you know, you've done the seven churches, they're part of the seven sevens, that Ion has talked to Roxy about them being banks? You ever heard, did you hear that part of Ion talking about that?
Yeah, she has played that before and has written that into her videos. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Pergamon and that are banks. So, okay, so then...
So if that's... but I will say that each of the churches in the angel chart, I mean, if you were going to take that to the going to the banks, maybe that's the environment of the church, you know, commerce or something like that, because the churches actually... in the chart, Roxy, are the physical, non-physical, and the labyrinth of the mind, laterally and horizontally, and each church tells a story because it's got the seal, the trumpet, the this and the that and everything in it. And those stories, I don't know if you could apply it all to banking, but you could apply it to the effects of, like, what might have happened, like, when a banking system crashed.
Hmm.
Well, it's not only the banking. It's also...
Okay, make sure you've got your mic to your mouth. Otherwise, we can't make out what you're saying. Hold your phone with your mic to your mouth.
Yes, it's...
You know...
The thundering, I think William Thompson expands on McLuhan because he says, like, each period has a new type of mathematics.
Yeah, new mentality,
And a new type of spirituality.
Yeah.
So when the technologies come, the environments come, there are resonances in many levels, and this is the... finances and medias and even the physical body, the elements. And
yes, and I can see all that, but like for an example, I'm saying like in the last church, I think, is the Church of Laodicea. That's the one that it would have to be to represent the financial crisis of 2008. If the chart is in linear time. So in that regard, you would have to, if what Ion's saying and then you're saying and what I'm saying is, if you put all that together, you would read that layer, you would read that whole story laterally of the seal, the trumpet, the bowl, you know, the judgment, the this and the that, everything that goes across, and it would tell you the hidden or known effects of that 2008 meltdown. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so we're saying the same thing then. All right.
Okay, Susanna, did you want to say something?
Just with regard to the churches being the bank, have you ever talked about how during the Crusade, the Knights Templar, they started the credit, the concept of credit, because they couldn't take actual money with them to pay all of the people that were fighting? So, and that was in union with the church, that they started credit.
Hmm. No, I hadn't heard of that. Can you fix your mic, too?
Yeah, the Templars set up this system for the people visiting the Jerusalem that they will just write, they will leave their gold in some church in Europe, and then they could write checks as they go to Jerusalem.
Hmm. Is that what you're talking about, Susanna?
Yeah, some sort of code was created so that communications could be made from Jerusalem to Europe and talk about who's going to get paid what and money transferred without anybody. They were encrypted, so people wouldn't know what they were talking about, so it wouldn't endanger the money flow. But they're credited with starting credit and financing the war.
Susanna, in the Illuminati and media dialogue I did with Ted Lohman back in May 99, I talk about the Knights Templars, and I insist the Knights Templars go back to the time of Solomon, but regular history says they start around 1,000 or 1,100. So the Knights Templars were starting to set up the visual space banking, and because they didn't have the printing press, they couldn't make it. They couldn't make it stick. So you're looking at this kind of communication, the beginning of visual space, that doesn't work. And then you go into the dark, to the plague and things like that, the Black Death, and then the printing press comes out of that. And then finally, with the printing press, they can start a global economy. Now, many the Knights Templars secretly survived and were able to be part of that new economy, but they were not known anymore on the mass level. They had disappeared. But
yes,
the printing press is the difference.
The printing press, we not only printed books, but money.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that allowed the system to create money out of nothing. But,
right.
We're still somehow
now, that's what,
by the printing press. And
no, no, wait a minute, Roxy.
Paper has some value.
Right. The making something out of nothing is not accurate. The printing press is a new nature, a new reality. If you look at it from pre-printing press sensibility, you think, oh, you're making something out of nothing. No, the printing press created a new meme, a new reality, a new something, even though it didn't seem to make sense in relation to the former bartering world. So it's not no me. That's McClellan's point. No medium is a nothing. It creates a new weirdness that becomes a meme and people live within it. So it's only the people who don't understand that that start saying, you're making something out of nothing. This is what the Alex Jones and conspiracy people say. There's nothing. You can go on YouTube and there's all kinds of videos by people saying, we got to get back to gold. We got to stop having this endless printing of stuff. They can't get the percept that it's real, even though it looks like it's nothing. It's important to get that. And once you know that, you won't listen to any conspiracy stuff. Go ahead. What?
Yes, because there are these other aspects of maybe the quantum.
The quantum, did you say?
Quantum.
Yeah.
We cannot. It's also the visual dominating that we think there has to be gold.
Right.
Or something.
The quantum is the electric.
Backing up.
That's them trying to visualize and articulate the electric, which is another newer reality, newer than the printing press. So there's a new economy that comes in the 20th century, thanks to the medium of electricity.
And when we are aware that the thing that exists, that we have non-ending energy, or I don't know how you call it.
Yeah, endless
there
friction.
There can be no lack.
Right, no lack when there's frictionless energy. More energy coming out than goes in to making it. Now, Gene, this is Gene's field, so you want to comment on this, Gene? Because I am going to lead into reading Thompson to start off our Zappa thing, and what we're talking about fits in with what I'm going to read about money by Thompson. But go ahead, Gene.
Fabulous, Bob. And you're bringing in revelations.
I wish you guys were all loud like Ginny. Why can't you guys have phones like Ginny? But go ahead, Gene.
Well,
fix your mic. Put it right up to your mouth. You know,
is
really
this
make
better?
It uncomfortable.
I can increase my
That's
volume.
Better.
Is that better?
Yeah, yeah. Make your volume maximum.
This is fabulous. I'm really thrilled that you're bringing in revelations, and you're tying revelations into the whole thing. And I just listened to the video Cultivation.
Yes.
Susanna recommended it to me this morning. And
you liked it, Susanna? Hold it. Susanna, what did you like about it?
Well, I actually watched it the first time Boxy had it, and I guess I didn't realize it was not finished. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and then now watched it again, and she added a whole lot more. But I really like the connection that you make with, you talk about the banks, you talk about the economy, you talk about the Mona Lisa. And
yeah,
it was a little bit mind-blowing how
good
nonchalant you are about all this stuff, and it's like major things that you're talking about.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jean.
Yes, you've got a spot-on analysis of the Mima Lisa.
Mima Lisa. Is that what you were doing on chat?
Yeah, that was
you?
Me. The Mima Lisa.
Right.
I've had that video in my mind all afternoon. But Bob,
in that video
you laid out, you identified in a quick summary the money powers or the world control groups as each new technology came in. Can you repeat? Do you remember that part?
Oh, yeah, you mean the Jesuits and that?
Yes.
The Jesuits? Yeah.
What? Yeah, they were.
Okay, so the printing press comes in, and the McLuhan says in Gutenberg Galaxy, which is his history of the phonetic alphabet and the printing press, that's when elites, or what was called the charm circle, could conspire against national economies. The central bankers moved into a fulcrum. It's like Archimedes said, give me a place to stand and I can move the world. But with the printing press, you could stand aside from all the national economies that were developing their vernacular languages, their books, and their visual space, and their currencies. That in the interval, the central bankers could do all kinds of manipulations, and the John Law case that Rocks goes into might be the first example of that. So you can have manipulation of the printed meme, but it doesn't mean it's not real. You know, it's real. It's a new space. It doesn't mean you're going to get back to gold or whatever is before bartering, a feudal thing. And so the Alex Jones and that, they confuse what's real with something fake and someone manipulating it. But one of the disservices of the printing press is that a group could manipulate economies and play off one economy against the other and usually have a war or two. That's what could happen. It does not happen in the electric age. The electric age is a whole different level of massaging people with information. And now, Ginny, you were talking about the noetic polity. That's really important. The noetic polity is the world we're in now of meme creation, and that the currency is money. No, what am I saying, money?
Wait a minute, the currency is money. I was going to say, what does that doesn't make any sense?
No, the currency is information. What is current makes currency. What is in the news makes currency. That's what I meant to say. Now we have another.
And another thing, may I say something?
Yeah.
Every time there is these changes, there is something, maybe the new frequency that makes people think is demonic.
Yes.
McLuhan said about the Lucifer of the waves or something like that.
Put the mic on your mouth. Be really careful about that so we can hear you.
Yeah, and with the electric environment, there was all these memes about possession.
Possession.
All these horror films and
exorcism.
And I think it's very interesting that there are things in the Mona Lisa, like it is proven the two Mona Lisas were made in the same room with the same light, because to create a stereoscopic image, a 3D image.
Keep the thing to your mouth and speak
loud.
Yes,
it will not be done any other way. So they did these two Mona Lisas to create a 3D stereoscopic image, but one was veiled until 2012, the one in the El Prado.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things, numbers and letters, that we could only see with the new technologies, with different filters of light, infrared.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think we could see that after Ion came forth.
Yeah.
And when we could see that, that was like a metaphor of the veils falling down.
Yeah.
That's like a sign that this is the time the revelations are talking about.
Yes, the
Da Vinci. But I have to ask Ion about that.
Yes, Da Vinci put the code in the Mona Lisa, which is the most seen or most famous painting ever, right, Rox?
Yeah.
It's the big one. And now, Gene, do you hear? What did you think of my analysis of the face of Mona? That was pretty crazy, pretty neat what I said.
Yes.
And you, Susanna, you heard it. Wasn't that amazing?
No, yes, absolutely. I just loved it. I saw, you know, it is Carolyn. It's me. It's all of us.
It's the Iodine.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the chuckling. She's chuckling.
Yeah.
The
chuckling. And the way you guys are looking at somebody just behind me sneaking up to bash me on the head, right?
Yes.
Is that her?
Yes.
And you know, it took you, Bob, to say it. But as soon as you described, you know, that it's, you know, it's that woman, it's every woman just looking at the man going, what the hell? And
yeah, these left hemisphere guys. The women,
yes.
Men take advantage of the left hemisphere, and the women just sit there patiently waiting for their own suicide.
And that's one thing. Now, you know, I'm sure that there was a, I don't know if there was a time before that, but that's constant. That's why the Mona Lisa must be so powerful, because
yeah,
it's been that way as, you know, as long as we think we know it.
Well, I think I try to put it into it's the printing press effect. When women were sidelined, and
oh,
they had to find meaning in being sidelined, so they have
yes.
the phrase "stooping to conquer." You know, they use that. It's pretty.
Yeah,
blatant.
And in the video, you talk about you say that you know it's what's important is the massage of the form.
Yeah,
and what you were saying a little bit earlier that there's. In the video, you said there's no information, but there is information. But
yeah.
It's the massaging of that.
Well, that's what Rox points out. There's three Mona Lisas, and there's different versions of it, different backgrounds.
Yes. Okay, go on.
Yeah,
because
go, Rox.
Yes, during the Renaissance, that was very common that a work of art was copied by the students and or was made different times with different alterations according to the.
Okay, fix the mic, put it right up your mouth, and speak loud.
Yes, I said that it was very common during the Renaissance that paintings were copied, and that there's a lot of versions from one painting.
Yeah.
But the Mona Lisa is very special because when they scan it and they see the different layers of the esfumato, there is not a drawing at the beginning. It's more like a picture.
A photograph.
Like a photograph. So,
and they don't,
I suppose,
they don't know how he did that. How could he make the painting like a photograph?
Okay.
Yes, and because of, for example, the Shroud of Turin is also like a photograph. They think Leonardo knew how to take photographs. And
right, speak louder.
And that he made both the Shroud of Turin and the Mona Lisa with this very special technique, because nobody until now could the esfumato like he did.
Right. Now, Ion says that Michelangelo embedded a lot of stuff in the Sistine Chapel and a lot of knowledge, and he got it from Leonardo. So it seems Leonardo was the teacher.
So Leonardo, in a way, was replicating photography in this world.
Yeah.
And Roxy, you said that.
I mean, there were parallel worlds there, and maybe he had. I think he knew about
about photography. Okay, let me just.
We have to ask Ian.
Right.
Yes.
Let me see who this is. There's a new person. Is this this is 520. Who's that?
Darius.
Do you have any say, Darius?
No, I just came in like 5 minutes ago.
Okay. So, Chad, you have any thoughts?
Not on any of the Mona Lisa stuff. It's interesting that he could do photography, but I don't have anything to comment on that. I'm still talking. I had something to say about the banks earlier, but if we're on to the next topic, that's okay.
No, the Mona Lisa is linked in with the banks. So Leonardo carried this painting with him wherever he went. Right, Roxy?
Yeah.
This is his main possession.
Because he, like I said, art is also like a way of storing intelligence, like in Secret Service intelligence. He put a lot of information there. He was already writing all his papers backwards, but there are things that he had to put even in a more secret way.
Right.
And he knew the full understanding, the whole picture will be seen only after we have these technologies in the time
right.
that the apocalypse is taking place.
Who did King Frank the First? Look at that painting and meditate on it, or he was looking at other paintings?
No, I suppose Leonardo told him about many aspects of the painting because he gave it to him, and that's the start of the Louvre collection.
Yeah, the Louvre starts with that painting.
And the King Frank called Leonardo my father.
My father?
Mon-père. Yeah, he called him mon père.
Right. Spiritual father. or maybe something else.
And that was during the time that Chambord was being built.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything happened in that 20-year period.
Supposedly passed away, but Ion said he didn't die.
Who, Leonardo?
He said, Yeah.
So what did you say? Somebody say something about Thompson. So Ginny's saying that Thompson, his noetic polity is in the Revelation. Is that what you're saying, Ginny?
Yep, Bob, sorry, I was on mute. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, that the everything that he was talking about, the total destruction of the environment, the demise of the chemical body and the challenges of the economic system and all the hidden environments of that were the three main themes of what he wrote about, and those are the three main themes of Revelation, and Ion even lays it out how it all occurred and then brings in the solution about where what is going to happen until 2020, until the year on your chart, Bob. So, I mean, it's really outstanding to see that intersection.
All right, so I guess now's the time to bring in Thompson, what I've been reading this week. His book, Coming Into Being, came out in 96, and it's the spelling out of the lectures he was giving his group that Karen and I were part of in 93, 94, 95. And he introduces this book, reevaluating the importance of McLuhan, and that was based on what I was telling him. And when he read the foreword of this book to our group, and he talks about our group being special compared to the San Francisco group he had to go to, also funded by Lawrence Rockefeller, the Center for Integral Studies, the but the kids there were more into Terence McKenna and taking drugs. They weren't into reading books. So he's talking about how he appreciates the literary quality of the group at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. And so I'm rereading the book, and he's got McLuhan all the way through it. He's saying McLuhan was right here, and McLuhan was right there. And this is when, 3 years after my lunch with him on November 2nd, 1993, after he'd done his courses through October, and I got to know him, and we went to dinner, lunch, on the day Giuliani got elected in New York, and he was telling me that he didn't think I should bring McLuhan up. Nobody knew who McLuhan was anymore. He even taught in Hawaii in 1985 at the university here in the communications department, and the professor who led the communications department had never heard of McLuhan. That's how bad it was in 1985. And it never got better until Wired magazine brought McLuhan back in 93. But we're sitting there in 93, and Bill doesn't know about Wired magazine yet, even though a lot of the writers he knew through the years, like Stuart Brand, and he's saying that there's no point in bringing McLuhan up. So 2 years later, he's writing a book all about the importance of McLuhan. So I'll take credit for that. He had a reappraisal of McLuhan. Okay, so this is the chapter called Weird Myths About Human Origins as Expressive of the Evolution of Consciousness from the Territorial Nation-State to Global Noetic Polities, : The Strange Cases of Zechariah Sitchin and Rudolf Steiner. So he does a lot on those guys and compares them, and he likes Steiner better than Sitchin. So then he says, he comes to this point, page 89, when one shifts from Sitchin to Steiner, one moves into more of an awareness of multidimensionality. In Steiner's works, the gods are not rocket pilots, but forces of evolution and planetary development mythologically expressed as archangels. Let me read that again. The gods are not rocket pilots, but forces of evolution and planetary development mythologically expressed as archangels. Steiner developed his own forms of meditational practice, a form of yoga for the West, and therefore his cosmology is not merely a technology. As one goes through yogic practice, whether from the East or the West, one experiences the opening of the chakras, the cerebrospinal centers of consciousness, and encounters the richness of multidimensional space. No longer is everything expressed and structured in three-dimensional space. As one stops the beating of the heart and the pulse of the breath, one moves into fine microstructures of time in which angels, he's got angels in quotes, in which angels become part of one's newly expanded symbiotic consciousness. It is a new kind of evolution. Even the current craze of angels, for all its addiction to kitsch, is a sign of this cultural transformation. In the formal cultural shift, From Europe to the American frontier, the dynamic was of cowboys and Indians, from Natty Bumppo and Chingachgook to the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Now, in our shift from the continental to the galactic frontier, the pairing is of humans and angels, or humans and extraterrestrials. Just as in the evolution of the cell, the mitochondria and the plasma...